Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we also archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We link to our guests so that you can have all the information that we have access to. And we encourage you to do just that. Check them out and gather the information that resonates with you and see what changes you can make in your life. We thank you so much for doing that and for being a part of this program, this Peabody Award-nominated program. We're very excited about that, and hopefully we'll hear very soon in terms of that award. Well, we're going to dive into, I hope that you have brought your library card and it's up to date and you have all of your return books or you've paid all your fines, because we're going to dive into a library that you probably haven't before. It's a set of records that you've probably heard about but are not that familiar with. And we're going to find out from world-renowned teacher on the subject, Ernesto Ortiz, and he has written a book about the Akashic Records. And basically, it's a sacred exploration of your soul's journey within the wisdom of the collective consciousness. Ortiz, thank you so much for, Ernesto, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Richard, thank you so much for the invitation. It is my pleasure to be here with you today.
The subject of the Akashic Records is a little bit, I think for some folks, a little obscure, because there seems to be some question as to its authenticity, because it's, at least on the surface, if there is such a thing, it's very esoteric. It's there's no physical set of books, you know what I'm saying? There's no set of shelves, a stack that you can go to. And so if there's somebody such as yourself who has access, how do we know if the information is accurate? And then we're also talking about information that is predominantly, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, if it's predominantly about me. In other words, I come to you, Ernesto, and I say, I would like you to access the Akashic Records about my life, as opposed to, I'd like you to access the Akashic Records about, oh, I don't know, his or her life, or whatever the subject matter. And I guess that would be maybe a good place to start. What is the extent of the subject matter that one could, let's just say, research or access from this vast record or body of work?
It is as vast and limitless as your imagination. The Akashic Records can take you to the limits of your own imagination. And if you learn how to access and open the Akashic Records for yourself, that limit of your imagination will expand to the next level of your own personal potential. The what is stored in the mind and the possibilities of the awakening and the openness of the mind is far beyond what you or every, you know, individuals perceive to be the limit. So subjects, anything you want, you know, anything at all. So primarily, yes, people that come to my classes and read my book, it's all about you, because you are the one that creates your own reality. And without you having a conscious awareness of the reality that you're creating, you're simply living a life that you are borrowing, you know, from the belief systems of others that you have inherited throughout your lifetime, but you are not really being a true co-creator and manifester of your life. So when you have the ability to clearly look at that and have this expansive information from Akasha, then the possibilities are endless. So you can go to the Akashic Records and ask about anything at all that is of interest to you, about any subject matter. Just look at what has happened over the past 15 years with Google, okay? Google and the internet combined have probably trillions of pieces of information and data that one can access. That right there is a drop in the bucket compared to the potential that is within Akasha. So, you know, and another thing is correct. You can come to the Akashic Records if you come to me for a consultation and you want to ask about others. What the information that can be given to you is about you in relation to somebody else. But I would consider spiritual rape to open the Akashic Records of another individual without their direct permission. Now, the second level of the Akashic Records, which is the practitioner level, is where the student learns how to open and access the Akashic Records of others as well.
So we can safely say that, at least as far as we know so far, the NSA has not tapped this resource to access information about us through this process.
Well, who knows what is happening, you know, with NSA and other means like that.
True.
You know, but the fact is that we are looking at a field that, you know, really is everywhere. You know, is the Akashic Records are within you, mm-hmm. but also outside of you. The Akashic Records are like the membrane that holds together the human body. So every bone, every organ, every cell of our bodies is wrapped around connective tissue. Without this connective tissue, the human body will simply collapse. This same membrane called Akasha is a substance that exists in the universe that is dense and is wrapping around everything that exists in the entire universe. That's what I'm saying, that, you know, it's like entering into the exploration of the mind of God. Can you possibly end somewhere, sometime in, you know, in 2, 3, 10, 20 lifetimes? No, it will be just an exploration of the unlimited potentials that are within that mind.
Hmm. I just finished watching a very interesting movie, and some folks have probably seen it, others have not. It's a very long one, came out last year, 2014, called Interstellar. Mm-hmm. And it opened up some very interesting questions, especially near the end of the film, where there was an experience within a black hole, where an individual is now able to see multiple dimensions of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering about the Akashic Records in the same context, that if all of this information is there, and we would both agree that time is just a human construct. There is no time in the supernatural, in the metaphysical, spiritual world. It just does not exist. It only exists in the minds of men.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're asking about past lives, we could ask about future lives as well as the present. But at the same time, it raised the interesting question of all of these times existing all at the same instant, if you will. Childhood, middle-aged, and adult life, or elder life, three are actually going on all at the they're coexisting. And so it's like we are traveling down this kind of goes back to the whole aspect of none of this is real, the material world, and that we have just kind of created all this stuff. And you talk about using our imaginations in the Akashic Records, and I'm sure that there are people who might be a little suspicious of that in the terms of the information that I would then gather. Does it then become somewhat subjective, or is the information that we would gather, can we trust it, and it is from a pure source, as it were?
Let me go back to the reference that you made to the movie.
Okay.
And it is true. At the end, you know, towards the end of the movie, they're showing you this individual floating in this alter reality and being able to see through a membrane this vast library that is on the other side. That's a pretty good depiction of a linear concept of what the Akashic Records are all about, which is the Library of Congress of your own soul. So is the Book of Life. Now, the only limitations that we have is our ability to perceive or tap into higher dimensional realities or higher dimensional levels via the condition of our mind. So if we begin to fine-tune our mind through meditation, through toning exercises, through a spiritual devotional practice, it can get to a point in which we start breaking through the veils that exist between us and higher dimensional realities. If you are vibrating at 110 watt frequency, can you perceive a frequency that is at 500 watts? No, you can't. And how about 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, and a million watts above you? Can you perceive those dimensional realities? No, you can't, because you're not fine-tuned or you don't have the mental equipment to do that. But when you start working on yourself and you start fine-tuning your senses, which is the way that we perceive our reality, then we can start breaking through each of those membranes to be able to have deeper or greater aspect of information coming from other dimensional realities. And all of that is a part of Akasha.
So
it's not,
go ahead.
The use of imagination is not, you can use imagination to do creative work. You know, you can open your Akashic Records and start writing, painting, playing music. And in that respect, Akasha will be supporting you in your creative process. But it's not an imaginary field. It is a field that has been perceived and seen by saints and sages, seers, visionaries, shamans for thousands of years. And there is documented evidence of this in the world today. Now, the beauty of all of this is that in today's world, with the technology that is available to us in quantum physics, there are new discoveries of this zero-point gravity field that they're calling the Akashic field, which is this very dense zero-point, very dense field of gravity that wraps around everything that is in the entire universe. So from the moment of a soul's inception to the present moment, every lifetime, every imprint, every emotion, every word, every action and interaction that you have had with life itself has been imprinted into this dense field, which is your Book of Life. So if this is the case, then it's reasonably, believed that you can, by tweaking your mind to higher frequencies, that you can enter this field and navigate through this dense field to not only past actions of this lifetime, but past lives as well, to look at and correct anything at all that is there holding you from achieving your maximum potential by eliminating karmic patterns and imprints.
Well, now you've probably alluded to this a bit, as we've just been talking here in the early stages of our interview. But I'm going to ask the question more pointedly. What is the prerequisite to access my Akashic Records? What do I have to have? Where do I have to be in order to begin this process?
An open heart and come to the material with a beginner's mind. If you come without an open heart, if you come with arrogance, and you come with the expert mind, which is the mind that is completely saturated. You have heard it before, you read it before, this and that, but you're not living the life of your dreams. Then there's the ego, the alter ego is the one that is coming with this mind of superiority that knows it all. But if you come with a beginner's mind, which is the mind of a child, open, receptive, willing to receive higher knowledge, teachings that are hermetic, teachings that are mystical, teachings that are there for our highest good, to be able to change everything that is holding you back from patterns of limitation, wounds, addictions, codependencies, families, imprints, lack of forgiveness. I mean, you name it, you know. Then if you come with a mind that is open and receptive to that, then you will be able to experience the magic of the Akashic Records.
It's something that it sounds to me would be so beneficial to each one of us, and that the aspects, the prospects, I should say, of accessing that information could go a long way to better our lives, to help us to live more on purpose, to find our purpose. And that's still people, in spite of, and not that this program's by any means the center of the universe, but you know, we talk an awful lot about, you know, finding your life's purpose, and people are still looking. And I hear the question from people.
How can you find your life's purpose, if I may say, if you are still dealing with the karmic imprints that are keeping you exactly where you are? Mm-hmm. If you don't have the means to look at your life as a theatrical play and look at every player, but acknowledge that you are the director of that play and that you have the script, and by looking at the actions and interactions that you have with life, to have the means through the art of questioning, to, with the guidance of the Akashic Records, to go into the root cause of anything at all that is holding you back. And once you get to the root cause, to eliminate it, to balance it out, to seal it with love, with kindness and compassion, then you will be able to start living the life of your dreams. Then you can start truly making a positive impact in your life and the life of others. But you know, this is not going to happen until you're willing to say, here I am present and ready to do the work. I just came back, Richard, 4 or 5 days ago from Guatemala, where I held one of the two Akashic Record intensives that I hold a year, levels 1, 2, and 3. In Bali next September is going to be levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. I had 18 people from 14 different countries from around the world. And at the beginning, they come in their egg, you know, like this hard shell with their issues, their insecurities, their fears, everything that I had mentioned. And little by little, they start progressing from day 1 to day 10, you know, of this particular retreat. At the end, everyone was glowing. Everyone was just in the spirit of true love. They had gone through their pains, their agonies, their fears, their anger, and all of that. And with the gentle support of myself and the Akashic Records, they created incredible breakthroughs. And these breakthroughs is they sustain that energy with love and devotion to a spiritual practice. Those breakthroughs become permanent. And right there is where the magic is. And I've seen it hundreds of times from people that come to my classes and retreats, that after they apply the material, they change their life forever. And that is what it's all about.
We're talking with Ernesto Ortiz. He's the author of The Akashic Records. It is a sacred exploration of your soul's journey within the wisdom of the collective consciousness. We're talking about this vast, we'll call it, body of information that is available. And when I say vast, it's like trying to comprehend infinity. Your brain won't be able to wrap around it, but that's the vastness of it. And I also do like the aspect from your perspective and your ethics in terms of maintaining the privacy of individuals, in terms of only accessing the information for the individual who is asking and not for any other person.
Absolutely.
I know that these days that's a big issue. Yet for myself, I have kind of taken the position when it comes to all the personal information that's out there about us, and of course we offer it up freely, especially on the internet, whether it's on our computers or on our phones and what have you. But it was years ago that I kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, God already knows, and if 7 billion other people want to know, and most of them don't care, I'm flattered.
Yeah.
if I'm that interesting to you, then fine. I mean, I would hope that you would do no harm, but by the same token, you know, that's that you talked about getting through all of the karmic garbage in order to begin to really take in and absorb and soak up this information from your Akashic Records. but you got to get through that other stuff first. So it sounds to me, it sounds very familiar in terms of the initial stages of your workshop, that like an intensive, a 5-day intensive that I used to take back in the 80s and 90s, actually the early 80s through the 90s, where in a manner of speaking, it was described that, well, they're going to break you down. And I'm pretty certain that's not what you do, but the point is, that they had to get through all of the minutia, all of the barriers that were preventing me, I have to say it of myself, that were preventing me from being ready to accept, to be able to listen to and accept what it was that they were sharing with me. You know, we're not talking about a cult here. We're just talking about people who were just trying to help others to get their lives back on track and be happy.
I am familiar with those programs. Yeah. I went through those programs, you know, many years ago in the 70s and 80s, even before that, you know, Landmark and, there's so many of them, and there has been so many around. But the Akashic Records are not that. They're not breaking you down at all. Here, what you receive is the gentle, loving guidance of the Lords of Akasha, the Masters, that are keeping your book of life, and they have seen the progression of your soul's evolution from the past to the present, you know, and that is what it's all about. So today, we are living the sum total of all of our life, of past life experiences. And that, in part, is if we have had unresolved past lives, then the condition of the mind, the consciousness that is a part of who we are at the time of our death, is going to be transferred to the next life. Mm. So we should be very happy to be exactly where you are. You were where you are. I am at home in Miami, Florida. I travel all over the world. I see people. So every one of us has reaped and is reaping the merit of the karmic merit of previous lifetimes.
Yeah. And to me, it's really interesting. I've thrown this up a couple of times in programs past, how in our constitution, the preamble, it talks about how we have the right to life and the right to liberty. But when it comes to happiness, we don't have the right to happiness. We have the right to pursue it. But and I find that really interesting that they worded it that way, and yet there is a certain part of all of the conversations that we've had on this program where bliss, joy, happiness is the word often used, is sort of our natural state. But
it's our birthright. It's not someone that put into a piece of paper.
Right.
Like the Constitution, every human being that is taking a breath right now has the birthright to have that and more.
Yeah.
And we can have that and more once we start cleaning the karmic imprints that come from our family condition. You know, we are living today, most people, I'm not, but most people are living their lives today based on the belief system that they inherited from their parents.
Yes.
And this is huge because there is not only family conditioning, but there is cultural conditioning as well. So, and this just is a weight that we carry with us in our shoulders until we get to a point of saying, I need to look at my belief systems. I need to get rid of this weight on my shoulders and truly, you know, spread my wings and fly. And it is possible. It is all right there. You know, I am a primal example of that myself in my life, you know. And I see people that are doing the same today. And that is where the beauty lies.
When we come back, I want to ask you a really big question that's related to something that you alluded to earlier, having to do with the information contained within the Akashic Records. We're talking with Ernesto Ortiz. He is the author of the book, The Akashic Records, and we're going to continue our conversation here in just a couple of moments. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we will be right back.
Understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're talking with Ernesto Ortiz. He's the author of The Akashic Records. That is the title of the book that you can pick up, and we'll give out his website in just a few moments as well to let you know how you can not only pick up a copy, but maybe even find out about participating in some of these incredible workshops that are available to you. Ernesto, I wanted to ask you in regards to that information. Now, is the information exclusive to, how can I put this, conscious, sentient beings of the universe, or is there information there that about the planets? For example, does Mother Earth, if you will, have an Akashic record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Everything does.
Okay.
Everything does, because everything is wrapped around the same membrane, if you wish, you know. So everything that exists in this universe and beyond is wrapped around the same connective tissue, you know, that field of Akasha. So everything has records. There's individual records of our own, you know, of our personal evolution. There's records of animals as they progress. There is the records of nature as well. And there's the Akashic records of cultural groups. You know, there is the Akashic records of the planet, of Mother Earth, Pachamama. There is the Akashic records of the moon, because it's there. So, you know, everything that is alive, you know, at any level, from the tiniest to the biggest, has an imprint of the Akashic.
Well, I think that that's important for us to keep in mind, and as well, because as we are doing our thing here on the planet, I have to wonder if there's some information there that can help us to do a better job than what we have been doing. And we go back to that the film that I was referring to, Interstellar, and of course the mess the planet was in the mid 21st century. I think that was the time frame anyway, mid or late, where everything that they grew after a period of seasons died. And it's like, wait a minute, how is this even possible? And yet they still have this dust, and then they still have stuff growing. That's not what I saw during the Dust Bowl of the 30s. Nothing grew because the dirt didn't hold together. But that's just, you know, one example. I mean, we've got so many other things that are going on that we're not thinking about what we're doing before we do it on this planet.
We lack consciousness. That
yes,
is correct.
Exactly.
And the Akashic Records is conscious work. You ask if you need consciousness to do the work. You said any sentient being is capable of tapping into the Akashic Records. Yes, everyone is, but we have to do it with consciousness. So when we tap into the Akashic Records, we don't go into a severe trance. We don't start, channeling like a medium or a psychic or anything like that. The Akashic Records is conscious work, and that is really the key work right there, that as long as we do it with consciousness, and as long as we learn how to live our life conscious, then we can get to the point of beginning to awaken of higher dimensional realities, higher potentials within ourselves. We have to pay our dues, but it is very, very doable and accessible to everyone.
So if, and we didn't set this up ahead of time, so if it's not possible, I understand. But I'm wondering, is it possible for us to do any kind of work in the context and framework of this program right now to, I don't know, bring up some information that would be helpful to those who are listening to the program?
Well, I hope that everything that we are talking and sharing is bringing that already to your radio listeners, of course. But if you are talking about, you know, is there a message that, you know, that from the Akashic Records to your radio listeners? Absolutely, I can give you a message, you know, directly from the Lords of Akasha, and they will be, you know, and if this is applicable to the radio listeners, well, great, you know, that would be my pleasure to do. And what that message is, you know, continue doing, you know, your search. Don't be afraid. Have the courage to continue going within. Open your Akashic Records, learn how to do it, be willing to receive this information, become the architect, the self-explorer of your own life, and be willing to look at anything that's holding you back, you know, your doubts and your fears, and then be able to utilize, you know, the gentle guidance of the Lords of Akasha to change your life. And at the end, you know, be able to learn how to live your life in this, in the essence and the spirit of love, because at the end, that's really what all that it matters.
When you refer to the, now it was the Lords of Akasha, correct?
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about the origins of the Akashic Records? Where did these
Sure.
lords come from, if you will, at least from a point of reference we can understand? And what was the point of creating this library? It sounds self-explanatory, but I'd like for you to explain it anyway.
Well, you know, they did, you know, it's hard to say that the Lords of Akasha created the library, because this, you know, from the moment of the inception of life in every single planet, you know, that is the moment of inception of Akasha at the same time. Now, many people, I'm sure in your audience, have heard of the Great White Brotherhood and other hermetic schools of light. And, you know, there has been individuals that have walked this earth that have balanced 100% of their karma and have been able to ascend to higher dimensional realities. In this case, they become ascended masters. So we have Jesus, Kutumi, Saint Germain, El Moria. We have Lord Buddha. We have Mother Mary. I mean, we have Prajna Paramita, Machiv Ladron. I mean, just so many. There's thousands and thousands of Buddha fields of individuals that I have attended that have attained that Buddhahood state or Christ-like state. And these are all individuals that have or that are part of that collective energy that are the masters, the Lords of Akasha. Now, many of them that are part of this group have never taken embodiment, so they're the most pure essence of divine spirit. And they are there, you know, available to us, you know, as spirits, as saints, as masters, for us to be able to tap into and dialogue with them so we can obtain information as to how to best live our lives. Now, the Akashic Records they have alternative names based on cultural traditions from around the world, but they have been recorded, they have been mentioned in every single sacred scripture from around the world. So this is really nothing new. For Christians, for example, it is known as the Book of Life, and they're mentioned in the Bible quite a few times. In the chapter of Revelations, it says, in the last days, the book shall be opened. Well, these are those days, and the books are open. So everybody now knows and is talking, a lot of people are learning about the Akashic Records. 20 years ago, when I started teaching this, no one heard about them. But now, look at where we are, talking on the radio about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're also called the cosmic or collective consciousness, the cosmic mind. For the Jews, is the Book of Remembrance. For the Egyptian, is the repository of Thoth. For the Tibetans, are the etheric records. For the Mayans, are Anima Mundi. The Hall of Knowledge. I mean, the Universal Library. So many names that have been given to the Akashic Records based on culture. And, you know, we also know that that in Tibetan Buddhism, for example, Lord Yama is the one that comes at the moment of death with several Buddhas to bring you to the place of judgment. And not judgment as, you know, a bad boy, but where there is a review of your life, just as much as there is in the Christian tradition, they believe that we go to have a life review, you know, and that angels come to take you into higher dimensional levels to be able to have that life review.
This also raises the questions in regards to what you referred to, culture and language. We've talked again many, many times about the struggles that we have as the English-speaking people in the West, especially, who now are trying to glean information that has been passed down for hundreds, if not thousands, of years, but from other languages. And the knowledge that I have, for example, I don't speak it, I don't write it, I just know of it. The alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. Each letter has its own legend, its own numeric ranking, its vibrational tone, its own color, et cetera, even its own story. And then yep. You start putting these letters together into words, words into sentences, et cetera. So when if I had grown up learning that language and reading that language and understanding that language, I would be taking on that legend that is contained within each one of those characters now combined. But then we translate that into other languages, including English, and that all goes away.
Well, it's just a matter of remembering, because you have, as I have, as many other people have, in past lives, being a Hebrew, a Jew, a Tibetan, a Chinese, a Latin. So we have the collective memory of all of our lifetimes here. So even though that language not be the language of your birth in this lifetime, we can tap into this energy and reawaken that memory. That is the beauty of the Akashic Records. It's simple. They are so simple. You know, the ones that complicate things is us humans, but spirit in their way is, they're so gracious, you know, that everything is right there available to us. We just have to be willing to enter this new dimension and take it.
Well, the point that I was kind of getting to, and you did allude to a very good answer in that regard, because we have lived so many past lives, and the Akashic Records, if we choose to access them, can illuminate our minds, if you will, to those past lives and
yep.
what we've been up to for hundreds or thousands of lifetimes.
Correct.
And it seems to me that, you know, to ask, well, how many lifetimes have I lived? And it's kind of an irrelevant question, because it doesn't matter how many you've lived. And it's interesting, we take forward from each life. I'm trying to think, we take forward, in addition to the karma, we must bring forward into our present life other things that are of value and of assistance to us in this life, right?
Sure. The positive karmic merit. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you bring both. So if you, in this lifetime, have trouble with money, okay, you cannot make it, you cannot keep a job, you make the money and it disappears between your fingers. If you're afraid of money, you know, that sort of thing, this may be a condition from you being a monk in your previous life, where you did not, you know, need money at all, but there was something in there when you saw maybe your brother or your sister, your family, they decided not to be a monk, and they lived a life of luxury. And within yourself, there's, you know, if there's any type of resentment at all that you carry because you did not have that yourself, at the moment of your death, you bring both. You bring the devotion that you had to the Lord during that lifetime, but at the same time, you bring back the condition of the mind that is directly attached to money. Now, in this lifetime, you are not a monk anymore. You need to work for a living, but you created a contract, you know, with vows of poverty in a previous life that you need to resolve in this lifetime. And not until you resolve that, you're going to have the abundance and keep the money that you deserve to have.
I'd like to delve into one of the specifics regarding the Akashic Records. I'd like to talk a little bit about the formula for opening your Akashic Records, the AAA recipe, And again, this is fascinating to me because of the fact that I take a look at language. I take a look at, again, whether it be Hebrew or any other language for that matter. And I've always been fascinated as to how the characters were created. The Middle Eastern languages, especially with what look like just, you know, squiggly lines, or Japanese or Chinese or Asian languages with their paintbrush strokes in the different directions and so forth. And I look at the Mayan. I see that you have both the the Mayan represented, the symbols, the hieroglyphs. And it's like someone took time to create, well, we'll call it their alphabet, if you will, or their code. I don't know if Rosetta Stone is the right word. And I'm just going, I marvel. I absolutely marvel at the ability of each culture, each civilization to create these things.
Absolutely. There are languages that are ancient. You mentioned Hebrew. You know, Sanskrit is another one.
Yes.
Aramaic is another one. These are ancient languages that were really delivered to us by spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And these words you mentioned as well with the Hebrew, they're encoded and they're alive. They are, when they put together to create a prayer or phrase, they contain a vibrational frequency that is encoded with sacred geometry and light language, which is the language of spirit. So the Akashic Record prayer is no different than that. The Akashic Record prayer, the way that we have it in today, the way that I teach it in my book, is it was originally received in Mayan, and then it was translated from Mayan to English, from English to French, to Spanish, to many other languages as well. It was just recently translated 4 months ago for me into Cantonese when I went to Hong Kong to teach. It's fascinating, you know? And but as long as the integrity of the wording is kept, and that is something that I'm very, very particular about, then that sacredness, the vibrational encoding of the light language is in the prayer. So when we sit down and we follow a formula, nothing too complicated, and the AAA recipe is part of that formula to be able to open our Akashic Records. And, you know, and during the classes, you know, I can spend far more time creating a mental picture for the students to really understand, you know, what is needed in terms of entering the Akashic Records. But when we drop our attention to our heart and we align and attune, which is two of the ingredients of the AAA recipe, the allowing part is just being open once we are in the records. But when we come to a frequency that is sacred, enter sacred space, and now I am going to read this prayer with devotion, knowing that I am lighting up, that I am turning on the sacred geometry, the light language that is encoded within the prayer. And what that is going to do is give me an inner alignment to these higher frequencies that I have been talking about. And then the pathway is there open between me and spirit, between me and Akasha, for me to be able to go to higher frequencies. And then once I am there, then create the communication that I need for healing, for inspiration, for simply sitting in the energy, for appreciating greater amount of love in my life, going to spaces of forgiveness and compassion. I mean, like I said to you at the beginning, the limits are your imagination.
And of course, we can imagine a lot of incredible things. Again, that's one of the reasons why, and of course, it's still fresh in my memory, why many of the things that were stated within the context of the film we discussed earlier really have stayed with me, because you know, the conversations throughout the film kept making reference to they, them, others that were doing all of these things. And of course, near the end, it turns out, well, it was us all along, or him in that case, that was doing these things. And I'm thinking, well, but isn't that what even quantum physics, let alone metaphysics, that's been teaching us for centuries.
Yes, it is.
That's what we've been told from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And we're finally getting it.
Yeah.
And it's finally beginning to go into movies like this. It's finally going out into the mainstream. We are ready. Just look at the awakening potential that is taking place worldwide. I mean, my God, it's so beautiful to witness. I am so incredibly blessed in my life to have the opportunity to go all over the world and to plant the seeds of consciousness in the minds of people, so if they fertilize it with love and kindness and devotion, with the help of the Akashic Records and whatever other spiritual practice they may want to or develop themselves, then the world can be a different place. The world is there, is right for us to manifest a beautiful reality all over again. That's why in my book, and I continue telling people that we are the ones that we have been waiting for.
Yeah.
We are the masters. We are the teachers. We're the children. We're the adults. We are the mystics. We are the ones. And as long as we realize that we are those that have been here before hundreds of lifetimes, getting to a point of this moment in time, this is the supreme, most important moment in your life, because you're alive. With the consciousness that you have in this moment, and with the potential, as you continue living, to expand that consciousness to greater degrees of your ability to consciously create the life of love, compassion, kindness, and to truly live the life of your dreams. It is doable, it is possible, and that is why I continue saying, we are the ones that we have been waiting for. Might as well awaken, take responsibility, and then create a positive impact in your life and the life of others to have this planet as a better place to live.
You know, a couple of things come to mind. One is the aspect of acknowledging that everything that is around me is not real. This is all an illusion.
Yep.
Okay. Number one. Number two, and this one was interesting when I was early in my radio career working for a Christian station and trying to understand and learn and listen and what have you, but I was questioning probably more than anything else. And at one point I finally said to someone, I says, well, is there anything that I can do to bring about these various events that you say are going to happen so we can kind of move this thing along? Because you guys have been playing with this destruction story for 2,000 years, and I think it's time we move on. So is there something I can do to precipitate the process and move it along so we can get on to the next stage in our evolution and so forth? And My thoughts go, and I mentioned, of course, at the front end of our program about the NSA's access to the Akashic Records. Who knows? Not that it's relevant. But I remember talking with someone about life and liberty and freedom and privacy and all of those things. I says, you know that when you start talking about life from a supernatural or spiritual or metaphysical perspective or conscious, and we're talking now superconscious, if you will, that higher consciousness that we're discussing in regards to the Akashic Records,
mm-hmm.
None of those other concepts are relevant. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm saying they're not relevant. None of that matters in the spiritual world, in the world, if you will, of what? Quantum physics, of spirituality. I'm not even sure what word to use to sum it all together. But in terms of the illusion versus the reality, the true reality, none of that is relevant.
It is not, but it is relevant as well, because this is the life experience that we are having.
True.
Now, you said that everything is an illusion. True, but this is the illusion that we are living. Now, let me ask you something. Pinch yourself really, really hard right now.
Okay.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, that is not an illusion. So that means that you are alive and that you are creating the life that you are living. You know, I often tell my students that life is meaningless. Life it has absolutely no meaning at all, zero. And everybody is like dumbfounded when I say that. Why do I say that? Because life takes the meaning that you give it. Mm-hmm. It's not life giving you the meaning. It's actually the other way around. When we accept that concept, then this life that is an illusion, but it's also a reality because you just pinch yourself and you hurt. So that means that you are here right now. So every action, every interaction that we have with others is extremely important for the condition of the mind, the cultivation of values that are going to create this illusion or this life from the moment of our birth to the moment of our death, are going to create greater amount of inner peace. And with that, greater capacity to love. And that is not an illusion. That is a very, very real feeling. And you know that when you have it, I mean, just gives you what? Butterflies in the stomach, right? And all of that is part of the excitement of being alive. So if we are here, if you pinch yourself and it hurts, well, might as well create a life of your dreams. Might as well tune into the magic of creation. Experience nature in ways that you have never experienced before. Water, the four elements, communicate with the wind and with the plants and the trees, with the earth, communicate and talk with animals, create a dimensional reality that can give you a more of an expanded life experience. And with that, greater consciousness, with that, greater devotion, with that, being more humble and more appreciative to live in a space of total gratitude for the opportunity to pinch yourself, to say, ouch, it hurts. I am conscious. I am alive. And I am making a positive impact in the life of others as I walk through this illusion.
Very interesting. Very interesting. We're talking with Ernesto Ortiz, and we're discussing the aspects of the Akashic Records and how they are relevant to your life. And I think that that's something that we've pretty well covered in the program. Now, when people go to, they pick up a copy of your book, I was fascinated by, again, some of the things that I found in the context of it and extraordinary things. But how might people touch base with you? Give us the website that would best facilitate them either A, getting in touch with you, or B, finding your book and learning about how to access the Akashic Records for themselves.
Of course. Thank you so much for that, Richard. My name is Ernesto Ortiz, and they can Google me. It's just that simple. Or they can go to my website, journeytotheheart.com. It is, you know, journeytotheheart.com. And right there, they have all my information, trips, everything. If they want to buy the book and they want an autographed copy, they can purchase one through my website. If not, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, any of those places have the book as well.
All right. Well, very good. Well, we again thank you so much for taking so much time out of your day. I have a couple of more questions to ask you here before we wrap things up. They are, first and foremost, who is Ernesto Ortiz?
A farmer of dreams. One that loves to plant the seeds of consciousness in the minds of people and to be a gardener, to cultivate that within myself and others. Who Ernesto Ortiz is just someone that is walking on this path that has gone through a lot in order to be where I am today, to be able to live my life in the spirit and the essence of love and gratitude. And with that, to have found my deep inner connection to spirit and my devotional practice. The Akashic Records have truly saved my life. They have brought me from living in my car after Hurricane Andrew with absolutely nothing to where I am today, which is, you know, in devotional service to mankind.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
For myself or for others?
In whatever context you choose to answer that question.
For myself is to know that I will die one of these days. I have already drowned it twice in this lifetime, so I know what it feels like. A year ago, in 3 days, it will be a year in which I was involved in a nearly fatal accident, so death was about a second away from me, and here I am. So to me, the most important thing for me in my life is to get to the point of my death and to die conscious. To die conscious and to be and to die awake. Because I know that that is the condition that I will take with me to my next lifetime. And I know that I'm coming back because I need to be back to continue doing what I'm doing. And for others is to once again, to open their minds to greater possibilities and potential that is within themselves, to show them that they are worthy, you know, so they can feel the worth of being truly loved by spirit, to open their hearts to the magnificent abundance that is available on this planet, to have money, to be able to do whatever it is that you want to do to help others in that way, to teach them mantras, to teach them meditation, to open their hearts and minds to a deeper and much beautiful life that is available to every one of them.
And who inspires you?
My teachers. I have my own teachers. I go as much as I can to my teachers, but you know, there's many individuals that inspire me. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, I mean, just like what a beautiful example of a humble, powerful man to have right there. Drungshin, my teacher. I mean, there's so many individuals that are alive that I have been with, and they inspire me. I need to go and be in their presence to nurture myself. But at the same time, there are other teachers that inspire me a great deal that have come through this earth, and they have left their imprint, so I can pick up that book, that manuscript, and read. In my private practice, I practice, you know, shamanism in many different ways, but also Tibetan Buddhism and, you know, the writings of many masters from the Buddha tradition are incredibly inspiring for me as well. Well, but it's not limited to that. You know, I can read the Quran, I can read the Bible, I have done that, and all masters are one to me. Every religion, regardless as to the culture or anything like that, when we stop the splitting of information, that you are this and I am that, you believe in this and I believe in that, you know, when we bring all of that together into the true essence of oneness, that right there is part of my inspiration as well.
You've raised even more questions in my mind. We could have talked even further about shamanism, and it seems as though more and more people I'm coming across are shamans.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's just by name or by training, specific training within a particular cultural affect, if you will.
Yeah.
But it seems, I don't know if it's a popular thing. For the longest time, I struggled with the whole aspect of everybody using the word quantum to describe whatever it was that they were doing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I thought, could we,
the cat came out of the bag with shamanism, as well as with many other practices, you know, spiritual practices.
Yeah.
What we have in the world today is what I call a spiritual supermarket.
Yeah.
So we can go shopping, you know, for anything you want. But, you know, that was my introduction to the spiritual world when I was 7, 8 years old. I was involved in watching shamanism at its best in Mexico, not knowing what it was at all. So it has been a part of my life since my childhood, you know, and I've been practicing and studying shamanism with many shamans from around the world all of my life. Now, if you ask me today, and I have already died twice, as I mentioned before, which is a prerequisite, so to speak, to truly become a shaman. So if you ask me today, am I a shaman? Oh, the answer is no. You know, it's not. I practice shamanism, but I don't want anything that is going to be plugged into the alter ego for it to say, oh, yes, I am a shaman, so therefore look at me with Google eyes. No, you know, so I think that a lot of people that call themselves masters and shamans and this and that in the spiritual world today, you know, they're plugged into the ego self, which is really not the nicest picture to be looking at.
I have to say the universe has been rather kind in that respect in terms of my years in this business and not feeling too highly of myself. I've always found that if I start to get a little, you know, heady, if you will, the universe has events that come along to basically bring me down to where I need to be.
Absolutely.
And keep so calm. I try not to go there so I don't have to have those experiences.
You're absolutely right. The universe, the spirit will come and smack you on the head and say, hey, you know, shape up.
Shape
so,
up.
So, yeah, you know, keep if we can manage, and that's a big part of the Akashic Records in the levels, you know, 3 and 4. If we learn to manage our ego, if we need to ego the ego to operate in life, but not the alter ego, the humble ego. And individuals that are in the spiritual world, they tend to gravitate to the spiritual ego. And that is just very, very unfortunate to be able to see with so many teachers. But if we learn how to keep the ego a check and to keep it under control and just learn to truly be humble and to be just to do the best that we can, because that every one of us, that's all that we are doing. And some of us are doing a little better than others, but it's all the same.
We're all part of the big picture. We're all contributing, doing our part, and we need to do that, regardless of what it is, and just be humble about it. And
that's it.
And enjoy it. Have a good time with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, I was thinking this guy in the film here thinking, wow, that's an extraordinary experience. You know, obviously it's there's not a lot of fact per se, but by the same token, it was transmitting a message that we can create, and we're doing it all the time.
And come to one of my workshops, and I'll put you in that dimension.
Oh, it's just incredible.
Through meditations, through the Akashic Records, through spiritual practices, you know, I'll give you the means to plug in to extraordinary realities like that. I live in that reality. I live in those realities. So I can understand it easily because I can move between realities. And it's so delicious because I can operate in this material world, you know, perfectly well, comfortable. I feel that I belong here. But at the same time, I can just travel through dimensional spaces, realities that are extraordinary, and they're beautiful. And that is part of what I do. If you come to one of my retreats, 7, 8, 14 days, you know, plug into, you know, unplug, first of all, from the world that you live in. Enter an extraordinary reality in a place around the world that supports, sustains that type of work. And then begin to shed the layers to be able to come to the real you. Take the masks off. And once you are right there sitting as the real you, plug into these dimensional realities and go for the ride with me. And you will be surprised the magic, the beauty that exists within your own consciousness. Once you just let go of the fears.
Give us that website one more time.
JourneyToTheHeart.com.
All right, folks. JourneyToTheHeart.com. We are linked to it as well. And Ernesto Ortiz, I thank you so much for taking so much time and sharing with us here on the program about the work that you do as a shaman and the work that you're doing in regards to the Akashic Records. Again, it's the sacred exploration of your soul's journey within the wisdom of the collective consciousness. And I extend this invitation that if you find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Richard, it will be my pleasure, and thank you so much to everyone that is listening to this show. May your life be illumined and many, many blessings be showered upon you. Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And until next time, love to Lal.